that's the only one we got today.
Mm-hmm. And it's Renee and Eva. Renee that way, I didn't write names down, just whatever. Mom and sister, I think, is what I put. Like you're supposed to know their names, man, you know. My mom's name is Eva and my sister's name is Renee.
All right. So, Father, we just thank you for Renee and Eva, God. We just thank you for the work that you're doing in their life. God, and I thank you, according to your word, that you say you put your angels in charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. So, Father, I just come in a place of thankfulness and thank you that that is already in place for us. Kind of like we were talking about, those promises are already ours, so we just thank you for them. We thank you that as they go, God, that you're with them, that you're protecting them. And then, Father, we just thank you for guiding the hands of the dentist today or the orthodontist or whoever's touching their mouth. Father, we just thank you that you guide, that your hands are there, that they make the proper decision for the proper care. And, Father, we just thank you for quick and healing and restoration of her mouth and her gums and her teeth and all of that. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
And I want to add to that, it just came to my spirit. My little sister, she's been going through this process for a breast reduction. I have literally watched my sister cry in pain. And she's been going through this process and she quit nicotine, which was one of the conditions. And then she went back this last time and they denied her because of her weight. Now, we have been walking almost every day. Okay, that's a good way to say it. Every day that we can, we walk around the one with the lighthouse. Yeah. And she has lost 11 pounds so far. So if we can just ask God to put favor on these people, heart for her that she can get this done and have a better quality of life, man. Right. I'm just tired of seeing my sister suffer, you know?
Yep.
And she's doing everything that she can, you know, to get there.
Right.
So I just would like to ask the Lord to put favor on the hearts of these doctors and the insurance people, that they see the need and put aside what they think and just do it.
Yep. We'll pray for that. So, Father, we just thank you for your wisdom. God, and that's what I ask for in this situation, your wisdom. God, you have a plan that's better than any man's plan. So, Father, I just ask that your will be done in this situation, God. I ask you, that you would give her sister wisdom, Father, the decisions that she needs to make, the things that she needs to do, and, Father, that just you would give her the empowerment to walk those things out, and that, Father, you would bring the care that needs to be done in her life in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for that, and, Father, that you're moving on her behalf today, and, that, Father, this would come quickly in the path that you would make. Father, your word says that you make a way where there seems to be no way. So, Father, we just thank you in this situation that you're going to move supernaturally in Jesus' name in her life. We just thank you for that.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. They are our sponsor for today. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227
7.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung, and his title is Fivefold Ministry. Back to you, sir.
All right. We're going to jump back to it then. We're going to get back to out of this Ephesians 4:11 here. I kind of went off on some rabbit trails, but we're gonna bring it back in.
We like rabbits. Yeah.
So talking about the prophet today, we shared the scripture out of Amos that shows what the prophet does there. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is there, how do we know that when someone is speaking, that they are speaking the words of God, right? Because anybody can say, I'm a prophet, and this is what God has to say. And that can take you as far off in left field as you can possibly get, right? We have to be careful. We have to test those things out. But again, we have an instruction manual for life, right? God has shown us that here. So we are going to run over to, I believe it's 1 John 4. Yep, 1 John 4 and 4:2. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. Well, let me jump up to verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Then he goes on to say, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. Now, I'm going to first of all tell you what this does not say. What this does not say is, if they deliver a prophecy and you don't see it come to pass, then they are a false prophet.
Right.
That's not what that says, right? But what we are so quick to do, if we are not careful, is we will judge the words that come from a prophet's mouth, and we do not see the fruition of those words, and then we deem them unworthy or not being a prophet from God, or what they had to say not being the words of God. I want to touch in scripture a little bit. So if you go back to the Bible, there are over 1,800 prophecies in the Bible. Okay? Some of those still have not been fulfilled today and were written thousands of years ago. So at any point from then until now, had someone judged the words of God through a man and said, well, that didn't come to pass, so therefore that is not God's words, you would be false. Because there are still prophecies in the Old Testament that have not came to fulfillment yet. Mm-hmm. Now, do we see fulfilled prophecy? All through the Word, which again would qualify for us that it is of God, right? We see the whole life of Jesus. We see the birth of Jesus. We see all of those things prophesied in the Old Testament, and then the fulfillment of that come about into the New Testament. Right? Then there are prophecies in the New Testament that had come to fulfillment. And I am here to encourage pastors out there that may be teaching, make sure you are bringing forth the truth of the Word, not your opinion or not your doctrine that you learned at seminary or from another man, right? Know that your truth has to come from the Word, from nowhere else. Because I hear pastors that will teach the prophets don't exist today. We need to go back to the Word, right? I'm going to turn back over to Ephesians 4 and 11. What does this also qualify? It qualifies time frame. In verse 12, these five gifts, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work, to build up the church, which is, and it just says comma, it's the body of Christ. That's what the church is, right? We even have a misconception of what the word church means. We think it means a little building with a little people group in it. That's not the church. The church is all the people in all these little buildings out here. That is the church, the body of Christ. And that's how you will see us referred to throughout the scripture. We being the body, Christ being the head. You must bring yourself into alignment with what Christ says. And then, only then, will you truly function as the body of Christ, and as we should. And what does it say in verse 13? This will continue until all come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, it doesn't take a prophet to say, has this happened yet? Have we come into the unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we're measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ? No, we have not. And that is obvious, right? Because if we had, we wouldn't be segregating and separating ourselves into all these denominations, into all these separate boxes. And, well, I don't see it the way you do, so you go over there and I'll stay over here. That is not a body. The body, and he gives us clear instruction, again, according to the Word, the body cannot say to one part, I don't need you. I can't do this without you. That's what we should be saying. I cannot do this without you. I look at my body, it's one, right? Mm-hmm. My body is one, but it's made up of so many parts. I was a science major. There are lots of parts in here, right? When you go to all the different systems, the bone systems, the endocrine systems, the circulatory systems, all of these things, they are made up, our body is made up of all of these parts, but it takes all of those parts to be one, to be my body, right? And it's the same picture in Christ. We are one in Christ. We have to be one in Christ. And whether we see it or not, that is the truth. Mm-hmm. But we do need to realign our thinking to see the truth of the gospel and say, okay, Baptist brother, Methodist brother, Catholic sister, right? All of those things, I can't do this without you. I need you. But what we need to do is realize the truth of the Word and bring our thoughts and our minds into unity and oneness. How do we do that? Because people will look and say, that's an impossible task. And I'm here to tell you, in the ways of men, you are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. But you remember that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead? That is the deposit that is given to every one of us that are true followers, right? Because I'm here to tell you, too, there are people that have a tag on their name as a Baptist or an evangelist or Assembly of God or whatever they want to tag on there. They don't really know Christ yet, right? They've just followed men. Mm-hmm. They have followed the doctrines of men, and they haven't seen the truth of the Word. And that's what's so confusing to the world, is because they look into the, oh, you're a Baptist, and they see this Baptist live this way. They see this Baptist live that way. They see this Assembly of God or this Church of Christ or whatever the denomination is. I'm not trying to call out names of the denominations because it doesn't matter. But if you have the tagline of a denomination on your name, and they look at you and you're living one way, and then they look at one and they live the other way, it's confusing. And the Word talks about that. Even the way that we act and the things that we do as we function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm bringing it this morning, man. When we get into the tongues, to talking in tongues, and those specific things that the Word is very clear about, and we separate and segregate ourselves because of the differences that we see, it brings separation in the body of Christ. It is one part saying to the other, not only do I don't need you, I don't want anything to do with you. Mm-hmm. And that's not proper. And God is raising up a generation. He is raising up a voice. He is speaking through His Spirit in these moments to say, knock it off. It's time to stop. It's time to be matured. As He goes on to say in 14, then we will no longer be immature like mm-hmm. children. Because that's exactly what we've done as the body of Christ, is we've walked in our immaturities and say, I don't see it the way you do it, so I'm going to go over here and build my own. Mm-hmm. That's not what the Word of God calls us to. As a matter of fact, when you go into Corinthians, He says, look beyond the faults of others and make love your highest goal. Right? And if I make love my highest goal, I will set aside any differences that we might have. And that's the thing too. Like, the world always wants to say, this is our differences, right? And that's why we have such problems as racism and all of these things, is because we want to focus on something that's different. The simplicity of a skin color, and create a division in that. Start taking your eyes off of the differences and start putting your eyes on the commonalities. And our commonality is Christ. It's the hope of glory. It's Jesus inside of us. If we put our focus there and we just follow, you will see a oneness like you have never seen before. And I'm here to tell you, if you tune your ear to the voice of the prophets today, because they are speaking, God is talking about these things. God is using the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists. He is speaking into their spirits and out of their mouths. He is speaking these things. The prophets just get a little bit ahead of us, right? They're getting a little bit of a glimpse into the show before we get there. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see that. It's such an amazing thing to see God speak to the voice of a man. This is what I'm about to do. And again, we don't judge the words of the prophets. Those are God's words. But we can look at the life of a prophet and say, they've said these things, and now we see the things come to fruition. And that's a proof of the fruit. That's the fruit on the tree, right? And I specifically mentioned, and I'll share this name because I want you to go listen, Julie Green. Mm-hmm. Go check her out. She's on rumble.com. Go check her out. And what you will see is, I've followed her for the last 2.5 years. And there are, every Friday she does a prophecy fulfilled, which means the prophetic words that she's been giving out, she has the team that all they do is watch. Because she doesn't. She doesn't get on media. She doesn't watch news. She doesn't do those things. Why? Because God told her she can't. Why? Because then men would point fingers and say, oh, you've just been paying attention and you're coming up with this out of your own head. No. It's God speaking and God proving Himself through the fruit on His tree and saying, this is what I'm saying. And then guess what? Right down the road, I'm proving it. It's coming to fruition. And some of those things happen very quickly. Some of them take time. As I spoke about earlier, there are things in the Old Testament that still have not come to mm-hmm. fruition. Prophecies that still have not been fulfilled, but they will be. Right? So it's not for us to judge the words of the prophet, but do look at the words that they say, and are they bearing fruit in their life? Is the prophetic word that they brought forth, is it coming to pass? That's the fruit, right? But even if it doesn't, do not judge that prophet by that. And even, and you don't believe me, go back to the Old Testament and look, there's a story in there where they were jumping on Elijah and making fun of him. And God says very simply, don't do that to the prophets. Those children were mauled by bears because of their mocking of the prophets. You must be careful for the words. You are accountable for the words that come from your mouth. Mm-hmm. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, mm-hmm. and you are spreading seeds every time your mouth is open. And that's a whole other message. But we need to take accountability for the words that are coming out of our mouth. And that's even one of the things when God started pushing me into walk in this fivefold ministry. Like, that is one of the scriptures that just jumped off the page to me. Not many people should teach, because there's a greater accountability on the life that speaks for God. And I don't take that lightly. That's a very humbling thing. I want to make sure that every time my mouth opens, I am speaking life. I am spreading seeds that God will bring the fruit through the Holy Spirit. And I encourage any other person that walks in a teaching or a pastoral setting, an evangelical or a prophet or the apostle, because he exists too. I want to encourage you guys, be careful what you say. You are accountable for the words that come from your mouth, but you are also empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth, and we must do it more today than ever, because we see a world that has lost its way more than ever. Mm-hmm. We've seen Christianity itself. I don't even like that word anymore when I know it, where it came from. Christ followers, Jesus followers, that's what we should be. Nothing else. Your identity lies in nothing else than Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and the work that he does in your life. So I want to encourage you guys to seek the truth from the word, to know what it says, and don't say it. I had a conversation with a friend this week, and one of the things she said, this is what I feel like God was showing me, you know, like this, 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 and this. And I said, okay, great. That's awesome. Can you back it up in the word? And she just paused for a minute, and she said, I don't know. And I said, then keep it to yourself for now. Right? And I don't say that. I'm not correcting you in this moment. Is the word used for correction? Yes. But correction always in love. Right? But what I just encourage you is I say, keep it to yourself. Don't go sharing that because you feel like you got this amazing revelation from God until it's proven his word, because it will be. If God is truly speaking in revelation to your heart, you will find a foundation in the word to stand on in it. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things that he has just solidified in me. I had to go back. And what was crazy, this same friend gave me a word, and what I would call is a word of prophetic word of prophecy. She said she just seen a vision, and she seen me just like there was this building, and I was just ripping it apart, just tearing it apart with my hands. And even I got into the foundation and was just ripping through the foundation until I got down below the foundation, and I pulled up. And I was holding fire in my hand. And I just said, I found it. I found it. And she said, I have no idea what that means. And I said, but I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Because God has tore everything that I have built, even down to the foundation. Because I read the word that said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I said, I don't even know what that means. But you said it, so I want it. And I have looked, I have dug, I have searched for God. I'm sorry for getting emotional. When life has came at me from every side, I have not shared my testimony in this setting. But I've lived some hard life. The enemy has stolen from me. But I cannot take my eyes off of Jesus. I will continue to follow. I will not even let life itself become a distraction to take my eyes off of following Christ. And what I see, the fruit of that in my life, is God is using my life. He is doing things through my life. He is doing things in other people's lives all around me. I see an orchard mm-hmm. around me, and it excites my heart in such a way that I could never explain in words. The word says that these signs will follow those who believe. And there are two scriptures. One says they'll cast out demons mm-hmm. and they'll speak in a new language. And the other one says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I can tell you, I'm seeing those things in my life and around my life because I have committed my life to God. And I'm going to speak real free right here. I read a scripture that Paul talks about, and he says, look at my life. Watch me. And I thought, man, that's an arrogant statement. Like, who can say, look at my life and watch me? But it's because I read it from a place of immaturity. I didn't understand it. I understood it from the way that a man would see it, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw another man saying, hey, I'm over here. Check this out, right? And then when I seen the work of God in my own life, and I realized the truth of the what Paul was saying. He was saying, look, because dude, I was jacked up. Like, I was messing it up big time. But the day that I said yes, the days that I was, my eyes were open, not only in the natural were they open, but they were opened in the spiritual, the supernatural. Paul's eyes were open and he said, I was once blind, but now I see. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to encourage people that if you hear my voice or you know my story, watch, watch. Not because of Jason Mung, because of God. God is doing something in my life that I could have never achieved. I didn't know what humility was until I was put back together by Christ. And I know that is such, like, there's so many people that have that story, but each one of them is so unique, mm-hmm. you know? Like, and that's what the word says. We defeat the enemy by that, by your story, by the testimony, right? That's how we defeat him, and by the blood of the Lamb. And it's by sharing those things. And I even, you know, the things that I've walked through. I mean, I was even thinking, gosh, I'm going to just share all the details of all this stuff that I've walked in my life. I'm going to share all the details of that. And people are going to see Christ. And then God just started talking to me and he said, but can you tell that story without bringing light to something else that's negative? And I said, no, I can't. Then that's not the story you need to tell. I don't need to give you all the details of where I've been or what I've been through, but I can tell you I've been to hell and back, and God has brought me all the way to heaven. Not in the physical sense, but here on earth, the freedom that Christ purchased, yes, the destination, the final, the end is heaven. That's our home. But what he did on that cross was for the day that we were born until the day we check out in the flesh. That's what Christ died for, mm-hmm. is so that we could live in life empowered by his Holy Spirit, showing, living his life before men and showing them that there is hope, there is a future for you in this life, not at the end of this life. And I see so many Christians being distracted, mm-hmm. even by things that are to come in us. It's getting crazy, it's getting live, throw me a lifeline, I need you to pull me to heaven. No, you just need heaven to come down so you can start showing the other people that are drowning mm-hmm. all around you. Mm-hmm. You need to show Christ in your life today. Why? Because he lives inside of you. And if you are living a beat up Christian life, you're not living the Christian life. Because that's not what it is. That's not what Jesus paid for. And that goes back to why I'm starting the Fivefold Training Center. Because there are too many Christians that are walking out there with immature thinking because they don't understand the truth of the gospel. And my heart is to build a place that is not a church, it's not a denomination, it's just a place for people to come into, to utilize a space for the body of Christ to get to come together and gather, whether in Bible study, whether in music and song, or just simple teaching. So that we learn the truth of what the gospel says. And God has called my life to preach it. And I've said yes. And it's taken me down one of the craziest roads I've ever walked in my life. I closed the doors of a very successful 16-year-old sign business and walked out cold turkey. And that doesn't make sense to men. It didn't make sense to this man. Or his wife. You know, but even in those moments, like, I knew that I knew. And sometimes you have to just make a choice and say, God, this is you. I know it's you. And I say yes. I say yes. I look at Jesus when he knew from the beginning his life was going to end on a cross. Mm-hmm. He knew it. But even along the way, there was a moment in the garden where he went to the Father again and he said, man, I don't want to do that. Why? Because he was just like you and me. He had set aside everything that he was in God, all the deity that was in him. He had set aside and he come down here to live a life just like you and I. And the flesh did not want to go through the things that it was going to have to go through. And he prayed to God, man, I don't want to do that. But, I don't care what this flesh wants. If this is your will, I'm all in. And I'm telling you, you can make that same choice in your life. And God is going to lead you to roads that when you look at and you see the impossible standing before you. And I take this back to Exodus. That was the exact story of the Israelites. They didn't know who they were. As a matter of fact, their whole mindset for generations, for 430 years they had lived as slaves, right? For generations they had grown up in the mentality that I'm a slave. But if you go back and you read that story, you look down and God says, go deliver my army. My forces is the words that he used. God still knew who they were even when they didn't. Mm-hmm. He told Moses, go deliver my army. And that's just such a beautiful picture of who God is that even when you've forgotten who you are, God didn't. Even when life for generations has taught you you're something that you're not, God doesn't forget who you are. He doesn't forget the plan and the purpose that he has created for your life. You may have lived in a cycle of a divorce, of addiction. Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, all of those may have lived in a cycle that was in slavery to those things, but it does not change of who God has made you to be. And all you have to do today is stand up and say, I'll follow you, and watch him break a cycle in your life, a cycle in your family, restore your bloodline, and then create a moment in time to bless the generations thereafter you out into 1,000 years. Like, that is amazing. And that's the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Right? And we want to teach all these weird things about we're predisposed in our genetics and all this and that. Well, that's why the old dies and the new comes up. Right? Mm-hmm. Because all the predispositions that come through our genetics, they can die too.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God does something, he doesn't do it in the natural. He does it in the supernatural. And that's outside of the ways of men. And that's what's so confusing to the world. And that's why we must live it. We must live it from the mountaintops. Just like Jesus talks about. As they talk about it in the Word, you don't put your light under a lamp. You don't put that under a bucket. You get out there and you live it. And you live it well. And I hope that my encouragement today is encouraging you along that way to live it well and not be distracted by those things that try to so easily beset us, whether it be sin or sin consciousness or habits, whatever it is, anything that would take us and our focus off of Jesus. And sometimes, you know, they even look at, we looked at the fivefold ministry today and those. The last one's the apostle. To be totally honest, I'm still gathering the understanding of what that means. I know when I look at the word and I look at the Hebrew word and what the apostle means, it means a follower. That's what it means. But what I see in the life of the apostles in the word is they were all of those things. Mm-hmm. They were the evangelists. They moved throughout the countryside spreading the message of the gospel. They were pastors to some. They had a close knit, they had a close gathering of those around them that they cared for it and that they shepherded. They taught the word of God. And even in moments, not the prophet, but they prophesied, they spoke things. As I see the life of the apostle, my understanding of what that looks like is you'll see yourself in all of those things. You'll see yourself, but you're following. And as you're following, you're also leading. And God has called those five places into the work of the ministry to build up the rest of the saints, everybody else, right? We are all called to ministry. You don't have to fit in one of these five categories to be called to the ministry. Every one of us, when we said yes, your life just entered the ministry, right? The job of those five giftings is to build you up, to train you up, to mature you. You know why? Because these five, they will be in the Word of God. They will be studying to know God, and then they will be sharing that life with you. They will be living a life in front of you that you can look and say, gosh, I see the fruits of the Spirit in their life. I see the fruits bearing on their tree. So when you look, and if you're looking at a person that titles themselves that way, because I can put it on a business card and it means nothing. Mm-hmm. I can put my name, apostle, my name, prophet, my name, evangelist. I can do that. But that means nothing if my life lived in front of men does not bear the fruit. And that's why Jesus instructs us according to Scripture, you judge the tree by its fruit. So if you see someone's life and you're looking at them and you see patience and kindness and long-suffering and you see demons being delivered and you see people being healed and you see those things living in their life, know that's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ living in a man. And those are words that you can take in, that you can listen to, or a woman. So anyway.
Amen.
That's it today.
Amen. You know, whenever I decided to come back to Christ some years ago, not too awful long ago, one thing I had to sit, I was sitting down with the Lord and I was reading His Word. And He told me to get a pen and a piece of paper. And I had these little labels, stickers. And He told me to get the stickers, the label stickers. And I said, okay, Lord. So I got up and I gathered what He told me to gather. And I sat back down. He said, now what I want you to do. And man, this brought freedom. This brought such freedom to me. He said, I want you to write down every label that you've accepted from man, write them down. Write them down. So I began to write the different labels. And then He told me on a piece of paper, I want you to write at the very top in big letters, child of God. And so I did. And then He told me, now you take every one of them labels and you put it on that paper under who I said you are. Right. And man, when I did that, it was like every label that I took off that sticky paper and I put under who He said I was. Right. It was freedom.
Yeah.
Every time. And when you were speaking, the Lord reminded me of whenever I used to, when someone would ask me a question, you know, about religion or whatever, I'd be like, I'm Southern Baptist. Right. And God corrected that in me. He said, quit putting anything in front of who I said you were. You're mine. Right. Now, if I come up and I say, you know, somebody asks you, who are you? What are you? I'm a white female Christian. Anything ahead of the word Christian. Christian should mean Christ follower.
Right.
That's what it means.
Right.
And we have perverted that. Mm-hmm. And that hurts. That hurts. Yeah. There should be nothing in front of that. It should be simply, I am a Christian. Period. Not, I'm a white female Baptist Christian. How are you? How are you today, sir? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like the Lord is trying to pull us to. I had a vision